regardless of who the U.S. president is next year, I'd expect to see this new ICBM tested.
New North Korean missile studied. It's Monday, October 19th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Pakistani female journalists find hostility online. Dueling presidential town halls. Political ads aim to sway voters. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Analysts say North Korea's newly unveiled intercontinental ballistic missile appears designed to overwhelm U.S. missile defenses. As VOA's Bill Gallo reports, that means it is getting harder and more expensive to defend against North Korea's growing missile force, according to experts.
North Korea's biggest ICBM yet, unveiled at this nighttime military parade. The missile can almost certainly reach the United States, but its range isn't the biggest concern. North Korea has already shown it could launch missiles capable of hitting the U.S. mainland. Now, analysts say, it wants to show it can fit multiple nuclear warheads on a single ICBM. For U.S. missile defense systems shown here, multiple warheads would be much more difficult to intercept, says analyst Melissa Hannum.
If you have multiple warheads coming out of that single missile, you now have to have multiple interceptors for each incoming warhead.
If the U.S. felt it needed to continually add interceptors, that would be expensive, much more expensive than what it would cost North Korea to build more missiles.
The challenge with missile defense is that it's always cheaper and easier to make a new missile than it is to make the vast missile defense system, which involves sensors to detect, involves multiple interceptors for each single missile.
The North Korean ICBM does have drawbacks, however. With 22 wheels, its launcher vehicle is so large, it may not be very mobile, and it would take a long time to set up and fuel. It is also untested, but that could soon change, says analyst Bruce Klingner.
What I would expect is to see that ICBM tested next year. What North Korea tends to do is something very provocative in the first year of a new U.S. or South Korean administration. So regardless of who the U.S. president is next year, I'd expect to see this new ICBM tested.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un may be reluctant to conduct a major test before the November 3rd U.S. election. But earlier this year, Kim said he no longer feels bound by his self-imposed moratorium on nuclear and long-range missile tests. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
You'll find so much more on this story and all the others you hear on today's program by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. You'll also find us on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, and YouTube. And, of course, you can find us on our website. That's voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. New Zealand's Jacinda Ardern wins second term by landslide. Killer tropical storms in Vietnam seen as eerily routine. Chest-high floodwaters force Phnom Penh evacuations. Taiwan should prepare against possible Chinese invasion, according to a White House official. China defends Confucius Institutes, now under fire from United States. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories, and there's much more, at Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Female journalists in Pakistan are demanding an end to online harassment, including threats of sexual assault that they face for their work. After several journalists posted a petition on social media calling for action, the government proposed a new law to curb the harassment. But some journalists have warned that such legislation could be used to limit speech. Gady Ara Anis reports for VOA from Islamabad.
Muniza Jahangir, a renowned broadcast journalist in Pakistan, is one of the 15 original signatories of the petition against online harassment. The hostility often comes from social media users who support or are affiliated with one of Pakistan's political parties. Jahangir told VOA that the harassment of female journalists goes beyond simple differences of opinion.
We have all been subjected to professional criticism, but these are personal attacks on female journalists. These attacks are sexist in nature. They involve the threats of sexual assaults and rapes. This was the point when we thought, no, they have crossed the red line and we have to take action.
Since August, the number of complainants has increased from 15 journalists to 150. Pakistan's Parliamentary Secretary of Human Rights, Lal Chand Malhi, says a new law is needed to stop the harassment.
The ministry has drafted Protection of Journalists Bill 2020. Cabinet has approved it and now it is with the Ministry of Information and Broadcast for their input. Political parties need to be brought into a framework so they are bound to abide by certain rules.
Most women journalists do not favor a new law and rejected the idea in a recent statement.
This government and even the previous governments always tried to regulate social media. One reason could be the kind of freedom the medium gives to you. Many issues that could not be raised on regular media are easily discussed on social forums. But what happened with the 2016 Prevention of Electronic Crimes Bill was justified as a means to protect women online. We all know how it is misused.
Sadaf Khan, who heads the group Media Matters for Democracy, played a major role in drafting the complaint. She says online harassment has less to do with the laws and more to do with political culture.
Our first demand is that political parties should consolidate a code of ethics for their social media cells, their supporters. The parties should openly condemn and stop this online abusive culture of threats and harassment. They should convey to their support base that this behavior is not acceptable and penalize the offender. Second, the Federal Investigation Agency should play an active role in lodging complaints against people, especially those who are powerful or in government. We demand a fair treatment of our cases.
The Human Rights Parliamentary Secretary believes that the new law will be a huge help in persuading political parties to play a positive role in bringing about a cultural change. A survey by Media Matters for Democracy found that 77% of female journalists in Pakistan resort to self-censorship to avoid online harassment. Journalists believe that no law will sensitize the general public. They say only the political parties can do that by sending a strong message to party workers to stop unethical activities or face penalties. Geeti Aranis for VOA News, Islamabad.
Happening now in Asia, thousands of protesters were in the streets of Bangkok, Thailand again Saturday in defiance of a government crackdown as they continue to push for the ouster of Prime Minister Prayuth Chan-o-cha. Unlike Friday's protests, when police used water cannons to disperse thousands of protesters that included children, Saturday's demonstrations were peaceful. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're starting out a brand new week, and we're so glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden held competing town halls at the end of last week to reach out to voters in separate forums at the same time. Mike O'Sullivan has more on the televised events just weeks before the election, November 3rd.
It should have been a head-to-head debate, but after Trump announced October 2nd he had contracted COVID-19, organizers made the event virtual, and Trump refused to participate. Instead, there were rival town halls in the battleground states of Pennsylvania and Florida, Trump trailing in the polls and trying to make up for lost time. The event was broadcast by NBC News.
I was in North Carolina today and did a big rally with tremendous turnout, and I just feel really good. Florida, Pennsylvania, we're all over the place.
Trump defended his response to COVID-19, blocking flights from China in late January. That response gets a failing grade, said Biden, who appeared in a town hall moderated by George Stephanopoulos of ABC News.
It is a presidential responsibility to lead, and he didn't do that. He didn't talk about what needed to be done because he kept worrying, in my view, about the stock market.
Biden said Trump should have pressed state governors and mayors to enforce restrictions he says could have saved more lives. Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, is in Senate confirmation hearings this week, and if confirmed, could help decide a contested election. Biden won't rule out expanding the high court to change the balance. The candidates agree on one thing.
We have an election coming up. I think it's the most important election in the history of our country.
Biden promised to work with Republicans if elected.
Because there's so many things we really do agree on.
But much separates the parties. Early voting has started in many states, and Trump warns of widespread fraud. Most election experts say that has not happened. Trump was asked if he will accept the results of the election.
And the answer is yes, I will. But I want it to be an honest election, and so does everybody else.
The candidates are scheduled to meet 1 week from now in a final face-to-face debate. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. The Japanese government has decided to release radioactive water into the sea from the damaged Fukushima nuclear plant. Japanese media reports that a formal announcement is expected later this month. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, presidential campaign ads on television and social media are targeting voters with different messages designed for different media platforms. VOA's Steve Reddish explains the messaging campaign.
They said it couldn't be done, but President Trump did it.
Whether it is President Donald Trump,
I will not abandon you. We're all in this together.
Or former Vice President Joe Biden, campaign advertising is all over television and social media feeds.
The television advertising campaigns are generally persuasion campaigns. They're just trying to change hearts and minds.
Jennifer Stromer Galley is a professor in the School of Information Studies at Syracuse University. She heads a project that examines presidential campaign advertising on Facebook and Instagram.
Campaigns use social media ads to raise money, to find voters, and also to get better a better picture of who their supporters likely are and what their supporters get excited to hear.
Stromer Galley says the campaigns produce many different social media advertisements to see what sticks with voters.
And so they'll run hundreds of variants of an ad to see what message really speaks to voters. And the one that gets engagement, that is clicks back to the campaign website, those that are ones that they're more likely than to run more broadly.
Once you click onto a campaign ad, the mining for personal information begins.
And the more of that information they can get from you, the better they can match that then to potentially you and their databases they already have.
Ads on social media cost a fraction of advertising on TV. According to the Wesleyan Media Project, Trump is outspending Biden on social media by about 22%, while Biden is outspending Trump on television by 28%. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And you can download our full-length 25-minute programs at our website, voanews.com. We thank you for joining us today, and we thank those who helped bring this program to you, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.